do that, and try to come if you can at 5 o'clock. Okay. Thank you so much, Children's Choir. Now, everyone that would like to come sing it with us in the choir, please come at this time. Haven't sung before, that's fine. Come right on. In your hymnal. You found your place, let's all stand together. Page 338 at Calvary.
Calvary, the old rugged cross, the one landmark between earth and heaven. Leads us to a place called heaven because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So good to see everyone. The house of the Lord is born. We welcome you here. Privilege and opportunity. Thank God for the rain He's sent us this morning. Hopefully we'll get some more. He knows all about that. Brother Clifford Sprouse is going to come pray with us in Forest, one of the new deacons that we elected recently. And let's pray for Preacher John J. Huntley, Brother J.D., and went to see him yesterday, and we appreciate the goodness of God allowing him to go down there. And also, who else was it went? Jerry Lauder went too. And he's 98 years old, preacher of the gospel. Let's pray for him. He's got a lot of problems with sugar, diabetes, and all these things. So let's go to God in prayer, trusting him to meet the needs of the hour. Brother Clifford.
Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious, humble Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, to give thanks for all things you've given us, our strength, our health, our wisdom, and our knowledge that can only come from you. Now, Father, we ask you to bless this church and our service today, that you would bless our pastor, give him the strength that he needs to provide the words that you've laid upon his heart. For it's in thy name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Good to see you at the Fletcher First Baptist Church this morning. Welcome all our visitors. So good to have you. We have a lot of our folks out this morning, but thank God we're here to worship and praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a few cards to read this morning. First one says, to Fletcher First Baptist Church, we'd like to extend our thanks for your prayers, calls, visits during my hospital stay. We knew without a doubt in our heart God heard each and every prayer. We are so blessed to be a part of Fletcher First Baptist Church in Christ, David and Linda Rice. So it's good to have Brother David and Linda with us this morning as he's recovering from his heart surgery. And I have another one that says, to Fletcher First Baptist Church, Mary and I have reached a major medical event in our life, one that consisted of open heart surgery. This event alone was life-threatening and painful, but the love, prayers, kindness that has been poured out upon us has made this so much easier to endure. I know it was only by God's grace and mercy that I survived this event. I want to publicly thank God. I would also want to thank this church and the members who have prayed, visited, and gave supported us during this time. The love that has poured out on us is only because of God's love for us. Thank each and every one for being a part of God's kingdom and sharing that with us. Forever thankful, Charles and Mary Connor. So he's thanking us again for that. So thank you for helping and giving and praying and visiting and all the phone calls. I do have one announcement this morning. Miss Rita Bright asked me to announce that the youth Christmas program practice for speaking parts only will be tonight at 5:00 in the old sanctuary. So youth Christmas program, speaking parts only tonight at 5:00 in the old sanctuary.
Let me just reiterate just one more time that there will be adult choir practice, and this will mostly do with Christmas, so when we ask that you plan to attend also at 5:00 here in the sanctuary. Okay. I want to sing a song now. This says, Oh, the Glory Did Roll. It talks about being saved. I hope we never get over being excited about being saved. Listen to the words, Oh, the Glory Did Roll.
I surrender my all unto Jesus, the Savior. So I could be.
sing about the one that has redeemed us and set us free. Page number 95. Jesus is the sweetest name. I know. Let's all stand together in family.
So good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this morning. And I guess we do catch you one of our privileged opportunities to welcome you again. If the ushers please come. We're honored you're here with us this morning to worship at the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much to be thankful for, so much to pray for. So many reasons we can worship and adore our Lord and Savior. Let's go to him in prayer. Trust him. May each and every day we certainly know he can.
Father, we just appreciate the choice of coming back to your house this morning. We thank you for your love and your mercy. Father, we thank you for this part of the service. We thank you also, Father, for those who have to give and those who have not. We just thank you, Lord, that you still hear and answer prayers. Watch over us today. Bless the Spirit. Deal with the people this morning. Father, speak to us as you'd have us be spoken. We look up to you and give you the honor and the glory for it all in your name. Amen.
Aren't you glad he knows us personally? Every one of our names. He knows everything about us. So glad to have Miss Brenda Bryan with us this morning. Miss Brenda, if you'll come, we've asked her to come and sing a special. Appreciate Miss Brenda. Love her much. You pray for her as she comes at this time.
Well, I thank God for being here. I thank Him most of all for saving me. I'm going to try a new song this morning. Y'all pray for me. My cousin back there, Dennis Moore, got me this from the Hayes family, and I love it. And I appreciate him getting it for me. But y'all pray hard. This is the first time I've sung it, so. I mean, now I've sung it a lot at home, but. But y'all pray for me that I'd ever do His will. Many years I've served the Lord. I've tried to be true. I have failed to tell Him more. Jesus, I love You, I do. Jesus, I love You, yes, I surely do. Words cannot tell my love for You. Lord, here's my life, I give it to You. Jesus, I love You, I do. Lord, may I give praise each day. I work for You. Day by day, this I will say, Jesus, I love You, I do. Jesus, I love You, yes, I surely do. Words cannot tell my love for You. Lord, here's my life, I give it to You. Jesus, I love You, I do.
For that beautiful song and for all the singing this morning, making melody, your hearts rejoicing to the Lord, hope of her coming.
Let's turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Job this morning for a few minutes. Book of Job, we don't have time to go through the entire chapters, we realize that, but most of us are familiar with the writings of Job and his three friends. Actually, there were four friends. We say three friends, but toward the last five chapters were given for Elihu, the one that came out, had been sitting there, observing, listening to Job, listening to his three friends. They came together. He was the younger, so he was not willing to subject himself to speak earlier, but finally, after he had heard all that he cared to hear, he started speaking. And we won't have time to go through all that. But the scripture says that there was a reason, of course, that the book of Job is written. God was the one that inspired it. He's the one that had to cause the events to happen. God caused the events to happen in Job's life with all those things, those negative, we look at things happening. He lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost everything. God's in charge of everything. And I want this morning for you and I to look back at some things happening in our lives, perhaps individually. And God brings that to remembrance. Last Sunday, we looked in the third chapter of 2 Peter. In the first couple of verses, he talks about bringing things to our remembrance. God does things in our life. He does it for a reason. And yes, during a time of those events, we look at it and we see what God is doing, but we don't understand why he's doing it. And that bothers a lot of people. I've heard people say, and I probably said it too, and you probably say it, I don't understand what God's doing, but I know he's in charge. I know he's doing well. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. And we make a statement sometimes, and when we get to heaven, we'll find it all out. We may, and then we may not. But the difference is it really won't matter, because all former things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. But wouldn't it be good in this life? Everything's going to be fine in heaven. We're worshiping the Lord of glory. There's no problems there, no sadnesses. And what good would it do if it's important to you that you find out, oh, in heaven the things happen to you on earth? He'll probably show you. But I really want to find out in this life where I can make a difference, understanding why he's done things for me. And it's really interesting to me that sometimes God waits several years. Maybe it's because of our inability to see why he's doing things. I'm sure that Job, at the time all these tragedies were happening, he probably did not understand why they questioned God. And of course, the three friends yet came, and they questioned Job, and they questioned God. Let's read what God thought about all this and what God says about this. And remember, we're talking about Job and we're talking about Peter, and we're hopefully talking about ourselves. But during the time of our reading, let's just think and realize that God does allow things to happen, good and bad. He has a reason. And Job did find out at the end of the story why it happened. So let's look at the closing chapter of the book of Job, Chapter 42. And all these events had happened. The three friends were diversing with Job. He going back and forth. And we can summarize, according to God's word, why some of these things happened. Some of these things happened because those three friends, and even the fourth friend, they were self-righteous in their own eyes. And even Job, although God says in chapter 1, he was an upright man and he hated evil. But yet, when things happen to us, the real us comes out. And things will happen to cause us to reflect in our minds that we're not as perfect sometimes as we think we are. And he knows that, of course, and he allows, orchestrates, promotes things to happen in our life, so we can see ourselves as he sees. This is happening now in the 42nd chapter. Then Job answered the Lord and said, we will give an answer, every one of us. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore, have I uttered that I understood not? How many times do we do that? We say things, but we don't really understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare that unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. What did it take in Job's life for him to be able to see the Lord? Now, I don't think he saw him visibly, but he saw him in reality. He saw him as one that promoteth everything, that doeth everything right. And Job has learned so much during this. And God allowed all this to happen for many, many reasons. We don't know all of them. We do know some of them. To show those three, they wasn't as righteous as they thought they were. And perhaps as we're reading and studying, hopefully the Lord will show us that we're not as righteous as we think we are either, many times. But God has the last word. And now Job is desiring with all his heart to see the Lord and to know him better. It took all this to bring it to pass. God knows what we need. And now those three friends, God allowed this to happen. They were no doubt good people. They did not come there to try to intimidate him. They thought in their heart, from the best of their being, they came to help him. Don't we want to help one another? But there's a way that seemeth right, and we don't always know it. And even in their trying to help, sometimes we hurt. Those three friends trying to help Job hurt him, hurt his feelings. But even in the hurting, it caused him to be able to see God more clearly. And sometimes it takes things like this in their life. But now look what happens. And verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken to me the thing which is right after, like my servant Job. God is weighing in. He always weighs in to our events in life. Sometimes he weighed at the end of this conversation and was going on for several days. And sometimes God waits to certain times in their life. Last Sunday morning, I can't get away from those thoughts that God brought me to share with you about the events that happened while I was flying over Atlanta, and the holding pattern, and God spoke to my heart. I won't reiterate all that. Everyone wasn't here, though. And God asked me this week, he said, go back. I'm pretty good to record a lot of things. And he said, go back and look and see exactly when it was that event occurred. And I went back, and it was exactly 20 years. So I started studying the number 20. Now I realize that everything God does is not always related to a number, but many times it is. The number 20. And all those things happened, and I may have mentioned what happened before, but I didn't understand. I never preached a message on it before. And God is still leading me to thought, because he's still letting me discover why after 20 years. And I don't know all the reasons for that. We go through life and we don't know all God's doing. But sometimes he lets us know why he's doing it. It may be that some of you need to hear this. It certainly is, because I need to understand after 20 years why he did some things for me then. Oh, it was exciting to hear God speak. Anytime God speaks, I've got so in my life, and I've been like this a long time, that it doesn't matter what God says. I know it's going to be good. I just want to hear him speak. And Lord, speak. Remember, Samuel learned that as a young man. He had heard the voice of God that hadn't heard it before. So he went to Eli. Didn't understand it. You called me? No, I didn't call you. God spoke again. But before it's all over, little Samuel knew the voice of God. And Eli gave him some good advice. He didn't give a lot of people a lot of good advice. Eli didn't. But he gave little Samuel some good advice. Next time God speaks, they speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And that's what we need to learn this day and time. We don't always understand that it's God speaking. But when he speaks, we need to pay attention. And it may be, and we get so excited, and that's good that God has spoken. And we hear his voice. And it may take years or days or weeks before we know why he did these things. So he was speaking to me, and as we were circling around, and I thought, we're always thinking, aren't we? Well, God let me understand and know that when you think, God hears what you're thinking. And so I thought, it's foggy, it was dark, I could not see out the window but a few feet, and I just thought, we're in this holding pattern. And I started studying about that holding pattern. We're in a holding pattern. And they go in ovals, and they're headed forward a holding pattern fix. And God's got us in some holding patterns. And one thing that they do, that holding pattern does, it lets them go through with the least amount of difficulty. In other words, they don't want to do anything harsh. And God showed me that in our life, as we're in a holding pattern, waiting on the fix, waiting him to bring us through something, that we don't need to do anything drastic. We just know to honor God and to serve him. And it means that holding pattern is without excessive maneuvering. A lot of times God shows us something. We're in a holding pattern waiting on him to speak. And we get all excited. We do this, we do that. But remember what those people do, the airline pilots, they go through the flight plan ordered by someone in the control tower. And there's three basic ways, and they choose one of them. And they are one thing and for sure, don't excessive maneuver, because it's very important how you act. And when God speaks, and he's speaking all the time, we all don't always hear his voice. But we do not need to have excessive maneuvering within ourselves. And so I just thought that thought, and God says if you think it's important that the pilot see the runway with the radar, let me show you how my radar is on your life. Not only today and every day. And I didn't understand it all then. I don't understand it all, but he did choose 20 years for me to bring down. He said, I want to show you. And four times that day showed me. So the next event in my life, and I didn't understand why then. I only understood why this week. The next event was, I was in the middle of a plane, and I was thinking, my legs are so cramped here, it would be nice to have more leg room. Instantly, a stewardess came from first class, walked all the way back to me and said, sir, you're chosen for first class. And that was exciting, but I didn't know why. But this week, God showed me why. While we're in the holding pattern, he wants us to go first class. He could do anything he wanted to by speaking to me. And just because I need more legroom, but God wants to show us that even in these difficulties, even in these holding patterns, and today you may be going through a holding pattern, you're in the middle of a struggle. You've been in the middle of a struggle. All of us have, and all of us will. And we are to remember, don't excessively maneuver. Wait on God while he has you in this holding pattern. And you say, well, it gets hard going those ovals and waiting for the fix. But remember, he showed me that while you're going through, he's taking you first class. Now, your first class and my first class definition wouldn't be the same as God's. You couldn't have convinced Job and his four friends, actually there were four, the three mentioned, then there was Elihu, the fourth one, the younger one. You couldn't have convinced them at that time that God's taken them through all this misery, arguing, fussing, fighting, first class. But he did. Because he wanted to show them and you and me today in this scripture that God has a purpose. God has a plan for every event in your life. Trust Him. Brother Randy, at the close of service, I'd like you to sing the song, and I will sing the song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And while He's got us in these patterns, you say, well, I've been in this pattern a long time. I've got someone lost. I'm so worried about them. They're in drugs. They're in alcohol. They've got all these health problems. In the holding pattern, God hasn't heard that plea. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Remember, no excessive maneuvering while you're in this holding pattern. Just keep on praying. Just keep on trusting. And then the next thing God showed me is that I told you last week, and I didn't understand why then, but He showed me this week. It's simple. I don't know why I didn't see it. Now, to get to Cleveland after we've transported and got another plane, first class now, all the way, and He gets me there, and He says, now, I want to show you something else. Not only have I got my hand on your life, my radar is stronger than man's radar, but when you get to the luggage where it comes out, the conveyor. Yours is the third one. Don't look at it. Just glance at it and make sure it's the third one. Because I've got my hand on it too, I take care of everything in your life. And I didn't think, well, that's good. But He showed me why. This week, it's just a simple thing. You may have already figured it out. There is things in their life. Remember, we're going first class. He's already said we would. And we have luggage, we have baggage, we have things that we try to tag along, and we say, well, yeah, I'm trusting you, Lord, but what about that? What about that detail? And God let me know I've even got control of your luggage, your suitcases. Don't worry about it. Don't give it a second thought. Just grab it and run. Did you do that? Trust and obey. If God spoke to my heart, I have to trust Him. So I just glanced to see it was number three. Got it and headed for the exit. Of course it was mine. God knows everything about us. He knows your luggage, your excess baggage. He's got it all under control. You don't understand it all now that you're going through, have gone through. It really doesn't matter. He's got it. And it's just so He takes care of it. And then the next thing I do, it gives me, talking to God, Him talking to me, just gives you the desire to serve Him and to help Him. You can't wait to help somebody. It wasn't about just God speaking to me, but there was a desire in my heart that I'm closer to God than I was yesterday because He's speaking to me. I'm understanding what He wants me to do. But now I need to help somebody, but I don't know how to help somebody. And now I was in this restaurant, and this waitress comes out, and she's very nervous. And I have plenty of time because I've seen to it. Nothing was important that day to me until bedtime except reading my Bible, studying, getting close to God. He initiated through my thoughts. And this lady, she said, I'm new. And I could understand that. 30 minutes later, she came back and says, I apologize, but they've lost your order. And it didn't bother me a bit because I was so close to the Lord. Whatever she'd done, it wouldn't bother me. Then she comes back a couple of minutes later with my food. She said they were initiating me. You know, I'm new, and they were just giving me a hard time, and that bothered me. And I thought, I want to help this girl, but how do I help her? I can't go talk to the cashier. That wouldn't do any good. That's not her boss. As soon as I thought that thought, instantly, from the front door outside the building, someone came in, walked through, past everybody, all the way to me and said, sir, how's your meal? I'm the manager here. Opportunity to help somebody. And if you want to help somebody, God will work it all out. So I said, oh, the food's great, but let me tell you about your little waitress. I understand she's new. She's a keeper. And I talked on and on about it, trying to encourage her. You know what he did? He went and told her, and the next time she came out to me, all smiles on her face, and she said, my manager told me what she said about it. She said, I needed that. I really did. How many times in your life and mine is somebody struggling, and you can't help them, and I can't help them, but God can. And all you have to do is in your heart. He's already taught me. He knows my thoughts. And when I'm thinking right, he knows it and he'll help me. Well, if I'm thinking wrong, he knows that too, and he'll help me get over that also, I understand. But when you're thinking right and you've got him on your mind. And then the next day I was able to go to the place I really went there for, I thought, to help this individual project manager that was going to lose his job, he thought, and his automation project was very expensive. And I wanted to help him, but really the reason God sent me was to help me. So after a few minutes, the Lord showed me how I could, he showed me, I'm not very smart, but he showed me how I could design some circuits to help him in his automation project, and that was important. But then we had the rest of the day to help him. He said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You got time to talk to me? My time's your time, sir." He had a marriage problem. Not only had a marriage problem, he was about to lose his family, but he had a problem, obviously, with his job and with his supervisor. But and I couldn't help him, but God could. And don't you see that God gives us these opportunities just to instruct us and let us know that he is in charge? And I did not understand all these things. I knew God speaking to you, that's great. I had no inkling of an idea until 20 years later, the details, while I'm in a holding pattern, I didn't even think much about that. Now he's reflecting my life here. Let's keep reading the book of Job just a little bit. That God will bring us to himself. Now we understand that God has been with Job while these friends are attacking him. It didn't seem pleasant at the time. Nothing does seem pleasant when you're in trouble. But you see, God's in charge all along. And God is going to use Job because he kept his mind stayed on God, even when his wife was discouraging him. And I don't fuss or pick too hard on his wife. She had just lost, we say, Job lost everything. So did his wife. His wife lost her children too. His wife lost her possessions. We are quick to say, Job lost it all, and there's his wife fussing. Curse God and die. Well, she had been through the same events Job had been through, so I can't be too hard on her. Sometimes when all the struggles and all the hurts come, you do feel like God's left you. So Job was an encouragement to his wife. No, I can't curse God. He's my creator. He's everything to me. So he helped his wife. Now he's helping his three friends. He helped that fourth friend. Most of all, let's see what God does for him. We already know the story. I just love to read it. In verse 9. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Nazarite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. Out of the misery that Job had, Job has helped them and the Lord's helped them. See, the things we go through seems terrible at the time. You go back through every one of our lives. You go through your life and I go through my life and, oh, it seems so tragic. You go through and sometimes it's so bad you think the sun won't shine again, but it will. And remember, God has a purpose for everything we're going through. Job did not accuse God of doing wrong. And we may question God, and that's okay. God, why? Jesus questioned his heavenly Father, why? But he never accused him. And you, God, was right. And during the time of the things in their life, it may take 20 years, if it did me, to fully understand what God's doing. It may be for the purpose of this message is helping you today because you've been struggling. And if you haven't, you probably will. Remember, God knows your thoughts. God will react to your thoughts, much less what you say and do. And when he reacts, he'll help you. Holding pattern? Yes. Waiting for the fix. But remember, don't do anything while you're in God's holding pattern that will cause excess turbulence or anxiety. Just trust and obey. For there is no other way, Brother Randy, to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Short message, plenty of time for the altar and the song. God's dealing with people this morning. You don't understand all God's put you through. You've been in trouble with a lot of things, no doubt. All of us have. But God's brought you here this morning. He's spoken to your heart. Would you stand? All over the house, would you react? Don't wait 20 years. Know that God's in control in this message this morning, not mine. It's God's message to us this morning. To let us know I'm in charge. And you thought some things probably you shouldn't have thought. God knows about them. Hopefully you thought some things that God was pleased with. And God has reacted to. Whatever the need in your life. Would you just come and talk to him about it? Brother Rand is going to help us sing that beautiful song.
Page 349.
Trust and obey. Trust the Lord in that holding pattern you're in. And ask him not to let you go through excess turbulence. Doing things that you shouldn't do. Thinking thoughts you shouldn't think. It's a time that God says, I've got the fix. You're in a holding pattern waiting on the beacon. Safe landing ahead. It'll be okay. Trust me. I've got it. I'll take care of all the excess baggage you've got. And you'll go through first class. And during the time of it, you can help somebody else. It's not just about you while you're going through it. It's to get you in a position so you can help somebody else. That's struggling, that don't understand. Oh, people are responding, won't you come?
Not a sorrow we share, but I pray.
Decision in your life, excessive turbulences are happening. You can't do a thing about it except trust the Lord. Trust Him for salvation. Then you can trust Him in every detail in your life. Sometimes we Christians let all these events happen. We don't see God in it. We forget He's in control. We forget He wants to speak. And little Samuel taught us such a wonderful lesson. Eli taught him, speak, Lord. That servant heareth. Here's one thing, but then you have to react. Oh, it's easy to say, listen to God, but then we have to react and trust Him. It's easy to sing those words. We all sing the beautiful song. Trust and obey. We sang it. The words don't do a lot of good unless you trust in your heart. And they're willing to obey Him. We're in a holding pattern, but God is getting us on the landing. And in the landing, we can help others. That's what it's all about. Worshiping God, yes, but helping somebody else along the journey. A desire in your heart, too. Sometimes we're so full of our own trouble, we can't have time for anybody else. Many times I go to the hospital and I've got a little extra time. I say, Lord, there's got to be somebody up here that I could say something to. Every time I've ever said that, somebody popped up along the way crying or something happening, and there they are. They're all around us. But are we willing to help them? Anyone have a word for the Lord? Done what you were supposed to do this morning. Don't forget services tonight. Revival coming up pretty soon. Someone told me this week, I remember illustrations of my own life when I was in a different town. Sometimes I was in Oklahoma City, Sandra and I, and we'd gotten lost, and we finally got to this church. It was three times bigger than ours, and I'd never been comfortable in big churches before, so I had in my heart, oh, it's going to be liberal, it's going to be this and that. I went in there, and I said, I'll never again judge a book by its cover. Big orchestra, waterfalls, all that wonderful, but choir came out. But you know what? King James Version of the Bible preached, altars filled up. Someone told me this week, they came here for the first time during revival with Darren preaching recently, and they already had their mind made up when they got here, big church, liberal church. And then they saw the choir singing and rejoicing and people worshiping. And people in the altar, and they change their mind real quick. Hey, don't judge a book by its cover. Just go in and experience God. I want mine's heart's clear. Brother Gunn, pray for us. Thank you for, oh, I forgot. Just a second. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Chris. We got something very important to talk about. Brother Chris, going to help us.
Sorry. Just wanted to remind everybody real quickly about our fall festival here. It's in 2 weeks from yesterday. We've added an event. We've added a car show. So it's not for trophies, but just a display. So if you've got a car, if you've got something old or new or interesting, just encourage you to bring it out. We're going to park it on the road right out here in front of the church and hopefully bring some more folks in as part of our outreach. We still need some volunteers for our cakewalk. So if you like to make a cake or buy a cake, we'd love to have you do that. We've got a box set up out in the lobby for individual wrapped candy, if you'd like to bring any candy to hand out. And then lastly, if you want to volunteer with a cake or if you want to volunteer to help on the day of, we've got a sign-up sheet out in the lobby. It's in the wooden folders over there by the sliding window. It's labeled Fall Festival. So if you'd like to do either of those things, if you would, just put your name down. That way we'll know who we've got to help, and we'll get with you on the details. We're going to have a meeting to finalize details next week. So lastly, we've only got 2 weeks left, and we've still got probably a couple hundred of these invitation cards. So if you've got somebody that you want to invite or a bulletin board at work or in your community, let's use these cards up. I'd hate to see any go to waste. But they're out in the lobby. And just lastly, just please be praying for good weather and be praying that this is an effective outreach.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Before Gunn comes and pray, this is a very important event. It helps us because a lot of people see the sign and they see a big church. It's not the biggest church, but, you know, people's got their own ways about that. And I've talked to a lot of people that are here and that have come and said, we didn't want to come because we think it's too big and nobody don't know anybody. And they think we're kindly liberal and all that. But this outreach is to show the community who we are. So let's help in every way we can. Thank you, Chris, and all the committee for helping. We need your help, too. Please help. It will help us reach out to others so they can come enjoy what God is doing for us.
Let's stand. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your goodness, your mercy, for your kindness, for your long-suffering. Thank you, Lord, for the message we heard this morning, for the power and the Spirit of God that we felt. Lord, we thank you most of all that you're a risen Savior, that you're alive on the throne. Lord, as we heard this morning, a lot of things we go through, we don't know. Job didn't know, but I'm thankful, Father, at those end chapters. He said, this one thing I know, my Redeemer liveth. And I'm glad you're alive, you're well, and you're still on the throne. You hear our prayers, and you know our sorrows. We thank you for that, Lord. I pray, Father, you bless this day, Lord, that you'd be heavy on our minds, on our hearts. Burden us, Father, to serve you like we've never served you before. Father, to witness. And, Lord, I pray that your church will be edified for your honor and glory. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.